Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When you think about virtues that bless our lives together, our families, our communities, and our congregation, perhaps two that approach the top of the list are humility and gratitude. Humble and grateful people tend to be outward focused. They realize that life is not all about them. They recognize that the gifts and the opportunities around them are given by God to be used for His glory, to be engaged for His purposes, to be appreciated. Humble and grateful people tend to operate with an abundance mindset rather than with a scarcity mindset. That is, they believe that they have more than enough, so life isn't a pursuit of trying to get what I lack. Rather, it's an exercise in seeking to be a blessing because I've been blessed. Humility, gratitude. On the other side of that, nothing tears at the fabric of a community quite like people who are by nature arrogant and entitled, unaware of the possessions of blessings that they have by grace. They live as if they constantly don't have enough, that they don't have what they deserve, and so they attempt to take it for themselves, from others, whether it is seeking to grab attention, control, admiration, resources, you name it. Today, we come to the end of 1 Peter, and throughout this letter, the apostle has given us reason after reason to give thanks to God for the gifts that He has given us, which far surpass anything that we could have deserved or even imagined. By nature, we were destined for a story that ends with death and separation from God forever. But God, in love, has rewritten that story. He has caused us to be born again, to a living hope, the certainty that we will rise victorious over death and will be with our God because Jesus has risen victorious over death, because we belong to Him. We've been given a new status. We were on the outside looking in as far as God's covenant promises go, His purposes and this choosing of His people. And yet now we in Christ have been brought into all of those promises. We have been chosen. We belong to His family. Jesus has washed our sin away and has repurposed our lives so that they might become living, breathing testimonies to how good and glorious He is. And He has promised to come again so that our bodies might experience the resurrection victory that He already enjoys, and that we might join Him in reigning in the new creation where we will be with Him and with one another forever. If there was ever a story that should inspire humility and gratitude in its recipients, this is that story. Today, as we come to 1 Peter chapter 5, St. Peter addresses our life together as the church. Given that this life together flows out of the blessings that we've just rehearsed in these last 2 minutes, it naturally follows that humility and gratitude should be hallmarks of Christians who live together as the church. None of us deserves to be here. Not you, not me. None of us is entitled to the gifts that God has given. All of us have been given gifts in Jesus that are humans in human terms too good to be true. So in light of all this, what is our life together supposed to look like? How are pastors and church leaders meant to interact with members of the body of Christ? How are members of the body of Christ meant to interact with leaders and with one another? May God grant us grace as we consider his word today. St. Peter, in 1 Peter 5, begins by addressing leaders in the church, primarily pastors, but there's certainly application here for other leaders in the church as well. We start in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1. If you'd like to follow along in your bulletin, you are welcome to do so. St. Peter writes, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Peter begins by reminding leaders that the church is first and foremost God's flock. Hope Lutheran Church is not Matt Bay's church. This is God's church. This is Jesus' church. In the previous chapter, we were reminded that every gift and opportunity that we have is a trust from God. We are not owners, rather we are stewards, we are managers. So it is with the church. Pastors and church leaders don't own the ministry. Rather, we are stewards. We are called to be shepherds who serve under the authority and the oversight of the chief shepherd, King Jesus. By the way, that's where the title pastor actually comes from. It comes from a Latin word that means shepherd. So when you hear shepherd the flock of God in Latin, it's a word that sounds like pastor. That's where that title pastor comes from. Peter goes on to provide three contrasts that illustrate the kind of leading and shepherding that leaders in the church are called to. First of all, Peter says that we are to exercise authority not under compulsion, but voluntarily. Voluntarily in this context doesn't necessarily mean for free, as in like an unpaid volunteer, because there's other passages in the New Testament that clearly teach the fact that those who preach the gospel can make a living by the gospel. Rather, this means that those who shepherd the church should enter into that calling of their own free will, as God has gifted them to be able to do so. Church leaders, in other words, are not to be installed against their will, as if this were some sort of forced marriage or something like that. Now, you might read this and you ask yourself, okay, that's true of like maybe entering into a calling, but can it feel like as I carry out the calling, it begins to kind of seem like it's under compulsion and not so much of my free will? I it's not as fun as it used to be. Does that give me kind of permission to get out? I would argue, no. There are lots of passages in the New Testament that talk about perseverance, that talk about endurance, that assure us that, yes, as we carry out callings as the people of God, times can get difficult. Marriages are to be mentored into freely and voluntarily. However, the New Testament's pretty clear that husbands and wives don't have free rein to just kind of jump out of those marriages the second they get difficult. So it is as we carry out our callings in the church. Many times church leaders who enter into their callings voluntarily are called to stick with callings that get difficult, that get hard because God in his mercy allows challenges to come in our way, to strengthen us, to test our faith, to help us to grow. And so we live with endurance with one another, eyeing the ultimate reward that Jesus has promised. Peter goes on to say pastors and church leaders should be motivated by eagerness to serve the church for its blessing and for God's glory, and not as a means to get rich, not for sordid gain. Again, the Bible speaks to that fact that, yes, pastors and church leaders can make a paycheck by the gospel. That is something that is allowed. However, the New Testament's pretty clear. Beware the pastor or the church leader who has an unhealthy obsession with money and possessions. Those of you who have been around for any length of time can probably recall a news story or two or ten where a church leader, a ministry leader, has gotten themselves in trouble because of some scandal regarding money. This is not the way forward for those who lead the church of God. Peter goes on to say, pastors and leaders are called to lead not in a domineering way, not lording it over those allotted to your charge, but serving as examples to the flock. Now, it's okay to have good ideas for how things ought to get done, but Christ-centered leadership is never about controlling other people. We lead by example. We lead by serving, just as our King served us and gave his life for us. And as we serve, we live in hope. Not that we'll get recognition or accolades in this life, though those things are nice if they come sometimes. Rather, we live with ultimate hope that our chief shepherd sees us and will reward the work that's carried out in his name when he brings about his new creation. St. Peter calls it the unfading crown of glory. Well, let's shift our focus now to those in the body of Christ, to God's flock. We hear those words starting in verse 5. St. Peter writes, "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." One commentator I read suggested that Peter addressed the younger men in verse 5 and told them specifically to be subject to the elders, because sometimes younger guys are a little bit headstrong and think they know everything and want to just kind of do their own thing. So if you fall into that category, well, Peter's words are to you, and I'm not going to point you out, but you know who you are. The primary theme in these verses, however, is humility. Humility toward one another, humility toward God. Your leaders are not perfect, and you may disagree with them at times. Nevertheless, live with them in a spirit of humility and gratitude, just as leaders are going to recognize that the flock of God is, at this point, before the resurrection, not yet a perfect flock, in which there will be disagreement. And we are meant to live in humility and gratitude with those we are called to serve as well. You see, the church isn't meant to be a place where we go around seeking to prove ourselves all the time. We are secure in Jesus. Our worth and our identity are never in question. I don't have to act like they are. And so, in humility, I can freely step back and take a lower place in my life with other people, because God has already given me everything I need. And in Jesus, he's already given me the promise of the highest place imaginable, to be seated with him. You heard St. Peter say it. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time. And as we live with one another in humility and gratitude, God helps us to see that each one of us is precious to him and worthy of care and encouragement. Because Peter's going to go on in the next verses to write about our enemy, the devil, who's like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He wants to pick us off. He wants to separate us from one another and from Jesus. When we live in isolation, when we live self-absorbed lives, his task is that much easier. But when we gather together like we are today, when we encourage and strengthen one another and pray for one another, through this gathering and through what happens here, God grants us strength to resist the evil one, to recognize his attacks, to fight back by holding on to Jesus, holding on to what is good and what is true. And when we hear that our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world are suffering for Jesus' sake, and yet they're holding on, what does that do for us? It encourages us. It strengthens us to say, yes, I will hold on to Jesus too, for they go through suffering and yet they're holding on. I will do so. And as you hold on to Jesus in your difficulty, guess what? God uses your life to be a source of encouragement for others as well. And so the entire body is strengthened and the church is built up in love. What a gift God has given us to have life in Jesus. And what a gift God has given us to share that life together as the church. May God the Holy Spirit make us humble and grateful as we together trust in the chief shepherd and resist the evil one, that we might possess the peace and the joy that God intends for us, that he might be glorified in the life of his church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God surpassing all our understanding guard and keep our hearts and minds today and always. In Christ Jesus, our King and our Chief Shepherd. Amen.